Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yes. Well, here we are once again. Welcome to another broadcast, or another episode, I should say, of Live Trading Talk with Oliver Velez. Of course, my name is Oliver Velez, and I'm your trader for life. I am very excited about our third episode here, which I've actually specifically entitled Debunking the Biggest Myths About Trading and Investing. And be rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, that there's a smattering of these myths that are and have been floating around the marketplace for decades. Some are relatively new, actually, and there are always myths being manufactured, especially in today's new internet-based world, where it's very easy for a specific myth or a misconception or a false belief or actually an outright lie to gain traction today. It was a lot more difficult for a myth or a misconception to gain root and become something substantial decades ago. It would take an enormous amount of pounding, if you will, over a very long period of time for something to take hold. Today, as we know, a false story about someone, or even an outright gag or joke, can gain worldwide attention in a matter of minutes. And so there's an explosion of new myths that have come on the scene about trading, and they're widely accepted and being accepted as being true. Now, this actually helps and hurts. It helps traders who are skilled and understand how to handle themselves in the markets, because these myths continue to grow the numbers of market participants on the other sides of their trades. So remember, in order for a trader to win, he must have someone who's willing to do the opposite of what he's doing with each action. So remember, every time you place a buy in the market, there is someone stepping up to the plate just as eagerly as you placing a sell. There cannot be a buy without a sell, and vice versa. And so one false notion is that you can have more buying than selling. How silly is that myth? Now, I haven't even begun to delve into this topic, but this just pops up at the top of the list for me in my little brief monologue here. It wasn't even on my original list. The idea that you can have more buying than selling. Oh, the market's rising. There's more buying than selling going on. How can there ever be more buying than selling? Or how can there ever be more selling than buying? It's impossible. A single transaction is made up of two components, a buy and a sell. And they can't be unequal. A 100 share purchase of Apple, the shares of Apple, requires a 100 share sell of Apple to create one single transaction, or in my industry's language, one tick. So these notions, these false notions, these myths, these platitudes that have been repeated, some of which have been repeated for decades, many of these things have market participants today operating with false beliefs. Now, let's talk about the sequence that happens from a false belief. First of all, when you establish a belief, all right, that belief dictates how you analyze. You analyze through your belief system. Okay? So you see the world through. You see the market. You see potential opportunities through your belief system. And so it starts there. Your belief system dictates your vision, your awareness, your ability to identify the truth versus not the truth. Okay? And if you have an erroneous belief, you will see reality in the market or opportunity. Reality is the general term in life. Opportunity is equal to reality in my world. So I use them interchangeably, those two words. Reality to me is a true, pure, unadulterated opportunity in the world of trading. And so your belief system has a direct impact on how you see reality, how you see opportunity. And if you have an erroneous belief that causes you to look at something as a buy opportunity, when in fact it's truly a sell opportunity, all right, you see how this will lead to consistently being wrong. And many traders are here in this place where they're attempting to fix their trading results without changing their belief system, which cannot be done. You can't patch it on the outside. So it starts belief system, belief, and from belief, analyzation, and then from your analyzation, all right, action. So you operate through your belief to analyze what is real, what is reality, what is an opportunity, and then you act on and have a result. And that's the chain reaction. Belief, analyzation, all right? Then act on the analyzation, buy or sell, and then the result. You can't control, it's a domino effect. Many people are trying to control the last domino, the result. How can you control the result? The last domino falls as a result of you pressing the belief domino first. Then the belief domino hits the analyzation domino. You analyze through your belief. You come to a conclusion through that analyzation. That conclusion leads to an action. That's the next domino to fall. Buy or sell, action. That action domino hits the result domino, and the result domino falls. Now, if you don't like the last domino that falls more often than not, then it is not the last, it's not the result that's wrong. It's not even really the buying and selling activity is wrong. You have to go all the way back to the first domino, your belief. What led you to believe that this was an opportunity? What belief system do you have in place? And so many traders are attempting to work with the result, the last domino, without changing the belief system, which is in a very deeper way, is really without changing themselves. You are your collection of beliefs. And that is true whether we are talking about trading or whether we're talking about life as a whole. You are the collection of what you believe. From that collection, your thoughts, your feelings, your conclusions about everything in life, everything, and then your actions, it all starts from your belief system. And so what I find myself having to do when traders come to me and say, Oliver, I'm ready to throw myself on the altar and really do this right. I've lost enough money. I've resisted joining you or doing your thing, but I'm ready now. All right? I'm broke, but I'm ready now. That's usually the story. I've tried everything else, and I'm ready now. When a trader comes to me that way, I tend to have to completely divest that trader. I have to go through a process of divesting that traitor of his belief system. I have to undo every single notion, every single idea this person believes in. And I've got to do it in a way where the entire system collapses. And there behind this wall, this great wall, which represents the constructed belief system, this great wall, if I can bring it crashing down dramatically enough, there is the traitor and all of his or her splendor, naked, exposed, not being protected by this false, or not being isolated from reality by this false belief system, this false wall that has cut him off from what is real, from what is true. And so that process can take time in different ways for different people. Some people's belief system, their false notions, their myths that they hold about what's true and what's not, what's real and what's not, some people's walls are paper thin because they've just begun to structure them. And I like that. People don't even have a wall. They're the people I spoke about in my last episode. If you can barely spell stock, I mean, you're probably in the best position. Stock? Wait a minute. You mean livestock? Ah, yes. See, that's a potential easy. That's that person's easier to develop. He's so young, so fresh, so innocent. He hasn't been able, he hasn't had an opportunity or his time to build up this thick, grand, Great Wall of China, like this wall, like the Great Wall of China, built over 1,000 years. Those people who have been at this a long time collecting these myths have almost zero chance of ever seeing the truth, zero chance of ever cutting through entrenched wall that they've been building, some over decades, some over many years. I'm constantly telling my traders, be careful of how you start. Be careful of what you expose yourself to, because unbeknownst to you, you are building a wall, a belief system. And that belief system can become so entrenched that even when you get to a place where you realize I have the wrong belief system, it's so entrenched you can't undo it. And so, yes, I am not one of these individuals who will mince my words and tell you, you have a chance. I'm certainly not one of these individuals who will say everyone has a chance. No. In fact, very few people have a chance. I am out here trying to recruit traders to do this the right way. All right? It helps me. It helps them. But at the same time, I know that the vast majority is not going to make it. It's a numbers game. Just like the vast majority coming into a casino are not going to win. In fact, a very small percentage of people are going to have a winning in a casino. And while I'm not saying the market is a casino, there are some great similarities. And the similarities really start at the fact that this game is set up and designed for the minority to win. It is not put together for the vast majority to win. It is put together for a small percentage of people to be withdrawers of other people's deposits. It is set up for the minority. It is set up for the elite. It is set up for those who have more knowledge, more skill, more longevity, more information in some cases. All right? It's the haves that gain in this world. Whether you like that or not, that is the real market world. It is not possible for this game called trading to become commoditized. What do I mean by commoditized? Where everyone takes a piece of the money, which means that everybody's pot gets smaller and smaller as more new people come on and start sharing the pot. That's commoditized, where the gains are so razor thin for someone that it's no longer really, truly attractive. This game will never be that, and thank goodness that it never will. Those who make it to the other side, those who cross over from the 92%ers who will never get there to the 8% who become the takers, the withdrawers, those people don't want it to be commoditized, and they obviously know it can't be. These myths, which I am going to debunk, and by no means is my list exhaustive in nature, there are thousands of myths that keep people part of the 92% of failures. Thousands. And so let's start with the first one on my list, if it will. By the way, before I actually delve into this, I am very, very glad after a month outside of the U.S. to be back on American soil. While I love my beloved Medellin, Colombia, and various other locations throughout the world, I'm an American, and I'm a very proud one, and I'd like to give a special thank you on this special day, Veterans Day, every single individual who has, for the country I continue to be in love with, despite its imperfections, who have put their lives on the line, who have sacrificed a portion, a very important portion of their life, for the principles by which we stand and the beliefs we uphold as a nation. And while I am the last person to ever come to, if you want me to say that my beloved country is perfect, and it is not, but I do not believe there is a perfect country. But of all the imperfect countries that I've been to, there is no country greater than America. And I say that as a proud American who has traveled the world over more times than I can count. So a big thank you to you. My father was a veteran. I am a veteran. And I give a special thanks to all of you out there who are veterans as well, and currently serving our great nation. So I'm very glad to be back on soil here. I actually just arrived, but for not very long. Next week, I've been invited to be the very first trader in over 50 years to trade live every day from Cuba. Oh, yes. All right. Next week, I will be broadcasting live from Cuba, trading live from Cuba, from the New World. So get ready. Very excited about that. Okay. So let's start debunking some myths here. Let's get these things settled. And maybe we don't want to be too excited about spreading these words, because we do want some other people on the other side of our trades, right? We want some other people, obviously, to have these erroneous beliefs. But for our little group here, we're going to let's do some debunking. Now, what the first one, these are not in any particular order, by the way. No particular order. All right, so don't think that because I'm listing this myth before the next one that it's more important. It's not the case. They're all stupid. Okay. They're all equally dumb. Okay. So the first myth is that, oh my God, the market is so complicated. The market is so complex. No. The market is one of the simplest mechanisms that exists. Believe it or not. I mean, the intricacy of the human body, that's complex. Every second, billions of processes are going on simultaneously. Tens of billions of processes. Incredible. The human being is the most marvelous entity in existence. It still beholds wonder the way it heals itself without you even doing anything. Most people think they have control over their lives when, in fact, the billions of processes that go on every single second, they're completely unaware of. You can't even control your bladder. There is no control. The body does it automatically. It's amazing. That's a complex entity. The market goes up. And wait a minute. Here's the complex part. And then it goes down. And then it repeats itself. What the heck is complex about that? What the heck is complicated about that? It does two things. All right, I grant you. If you press me hard enough, I'll add a third thing, sideways sometimes. But in reality, that's just the break between the two major things it does. Go up, and then it goes down, and then it repeats itself. It goes back up, and then it goes back down, and then it goes back up, and then it goes back. That is the simplest, rudimentary, it's almost laughable. It can't do anything else. It's like a rail. It's like a train on railroad tracks. It's not like the train can travel along its any path it wants. It's laid out by the rails. It can't make a sharp left if the rails are straight or right. It's simple. It's got two movements, up and down. So a lot of traders will say, well, Oliver, if the market is not complex, complicated, why is there a 92% failure rate? Why do so many people struggle with this? Why do the vast majority of people, why will they never make it? It's almost the same reasons why the vast majority of people don't make it in anything. Now, it's even more so the market. I do grant you that. The market has the highest trading, has one of the highest failure rates in the world. So if you make it, my goodness, you are truly elite. And I love that word. You are truly elite. You stand tall, head and shoulders above 92% of the people out there in the entire world. That's elite. So it's complex because, first of all, we are the complex entity. We bring our complexity to the market's simplicity. So the complex part of the equation is not the market. It's you. You're the messed up, complex, complicated part of, and you're the complex ingredient. Man, you're bringing your garbage, your false notions, your belief, your erroneous beliefs, your stupid myths, your broken down trading approaches. You're bringing all that garbage to something that's pretty simple. Not simple, just pretty basic, and it's it goes up and it goes down. In reality, you have a 50-50 chance of winning each act you make. From your entry in a trade, it's going to either go up from there or down from there. Now, it might do both, but it can't do both at the same time. So it can't go up and down simultaneously. That would start getting into the category called complicated. It's not even that. It has two things, and it can only do one thing at a time. It's sort of like this false notion that you can, as a human being, you can think two or three different things at the same moment. Most people believe that nonsense. The mind is incapable of holding more than one thought at any given moment. Now, even that's life-changing, but that's not what we're here to talk about. But the mind can only do one thing at a time. Those who let the mind run wild will feel like the mind can do 50,000 things at one time. It's just they just allow their minds to be untrained and run wild on them. And it gives them that impression. But the mind can only do one thing, hold one thought at any given moment. Now, the market can only do one thing at any given moment or down. It cannot do both simultaneously. Now, this is a myth that holds a lot of people back in this fashion. It causes them to believe you need a complex approach because the market's complex. And if you come to them with something basic but powerful, it's basic, but that doesn't mean it's powerful. It's simple. That's too simple, Oliver. Like, that's not going to work. They think that you need all kinds of, you need 27 different indicators. You need to pour over 50 different reports. You've got to have information. You've got to hire spies to go behind the scenes and find out secret information. You need computer system. You need a computer with 50 different screens so that you can be guaranteed to catch radiation poisoning. They think that you need 4 different seminars. I need to go here now. I need to go there now because the market is so complicated. This leads to a lot of stuff. You know, and when you teach children this, they get it. They get it that it's basic. They don't bring garbage and they don't bring this idea that it's all so hard. They just look at the colors when I teach them. Oh, green bars and red bars. Okay, I get it. And yet, you with your sophistication and your reading books every night and spending hours in chat rooms listening to other delusional people talk and type, isn't it weird? Isn't it weird that the people who know the least in chat rooms talk the most? They type the most. They talk the most. It's funny. It's comical. See, to real traders who witness that stuff, it's really, truly laughable. It is. Nobody making money, just talking. I get a kick out. Oh, and then they question me. They question me, which is going to lead me into some other myths as well. It's just so hilarious. It's hilarious. Okay. So, no, the market is not complex. You bring complexity to the market. And so one of the solutions, when you understand that this is a myth, is to get back to the basics. To strip your stuff down. Let's get raw and really ABC-ish again to the things that matter. You know, when you start to get too complex, you veer into the stuff that doesn't mean a darn thing. There's no connection with making money. Listen, if you can't make money with one screen, how are you going to make money with 17 screens? If you can't make money with one monitor, you think 4 monitors is going to improve your odds? How ridiculous is that? Oh, wait a minute. You know, I need, you know, there are traders that have so many indicators on their chart, it looks like a freaking bowl of spaghetti. Like, how do you see anything through this junk you got on here? Listen, stocks go up and down. That's it. Let's start there. And let's take it to this basic level. This is how I take it to the basic level with the traders. I say, come on, let's just get down to basics again. Stocks go up and then they go down. And then after they go down, they go up. So when should you start getting interested in the possibility of up? After up or after down? And so they think for a second and they say, well, I guess you would become interested down because after down, next is up. Ah, okay, now we're getting somewhere. Now, did you need 4 screens for that? How many indicators did we use to come up with that system? Wait a minute. Let me first wait for a down movement, then start thinking about the possibility of buying. Whoa, we just made progress without an indicator, without another monitor, without a chat room. It's crazy. So listen, you need to get back to basics. Get back to the things that make a difference with making money. Some people have gone off the deep end and they would prefer to just look like they know what they're doing. They show pictures of their sophisticated trading system. Listen, I show my trading system and people get disappointed. They're like, Oliver, for real, you trade off of that little tiny 13-inch? It's not even a 17-inch? I'm like, you know, I know a certain thing, size does matter, but I'd rather the size and the profits and not necessarily the size and stuff I'm lugging around. I like to be mobile. I travel the world. I'd like to be able to, at a coffee shop in Italy, flip up my notebook over a cappuccino or an espresso and make a trade with the Wi-Fi and the bakery. I like to be in Champs-Élysées in Paris and sipping wine, all right, overlooking the activity happening on Champs-Élysées and be able to flip open my notebook and place a trade. I don't want 17 monitors. Where am I going to go with that? And then a lot of times what that does is that makes you reliant on that so that when you do travel, you're out of sorts. I tell traders today, listen, go the other way. Go the way of simplicity. Go the way of small. Go the way of notebook. Become a notebook trader. Then you can go back to, you can become a 4-screen, 6-screen trader. You can go the other way easily. You can't go from the, I'm used to trading with 6 monitors down to a notebook. You feel out of sorts. You're off. The opportunities don't even present themselves the same way to you on a notebook. It's like you can't find anything. No, go the other way. Get accustomed to notebook trading. Then you can, going from notebook to 6 screens is easy. You know? So, get back to basics. Get back to small. Get back to rudimentary. Take pride in the fact that, yeah, out of this $800 notebook, hundreds of thousands come out of this $800 notebook. Isn't that amazing? Take pride in that. Take pride in the fact that is the new regime anyway. I mean, look at Zuck. Look at Zuckerberg. I mean, the dude is one of the richest people in the world. He's still in his 20s, I think, right? Yeah, I think so. And he's like up there in a T-shirt. It's not even a name brand T-shirt. Taking pride in simplicity, you know? I heard a story about Leo. I love this. You know, Leo drives a $15,000 car, Leonardo DiCaprio. You know, he's into the environment, and I think it's a Geo or whatever it is. Parks it with pride right next to the Rolls Royces and the Ferraris with pride. Pride and simplicity. That's the new way. Pride in the fact that I only need this. Oh, seriously, you need all of that monstrosity to make a few dollars? That's what you need? And you're still not even making a few dollars? You've got this monstrosity and you're not making money? I take pride in the fact that it's just, it's almost nothing I need. I don't need you. I don't need a boss. I don't need you. I just need an internet connection in my notebook computer. That's it. razor thin notebook. I can carry it like a piece of paper. And when you look at my charts, they're very simple, drawn down. I have the 20-period moving average and the 200-period moving average, and that is it. My traders know those are my two things. Clean, neat, simple, basic, because at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is price movement. So the moment you have me looking at an indicator is a derivative of price. I'm moving away from what matters. Price movement matters. Oh, but no, wait. When this line crosses that line and that little squiggly line dips below this level and the RSI goes up here and oh my God, you're not even looking at price, dude. Price's movement is what makes you money or makes you lose money. These things have got you moved away from the horse's mouth. So, no, the market's not complex. It's very simple. It's simple to a fault. It only has two motions, and it can't even do them simultaneously to trip you up. It can only do them one at a time. If it feels complex to you, it is because you are complex. If it feels difficult, it is because you are making it difficult. Now, I'm by far not saying that trading is easy. I am saying that trading is simple. Simple and easy are two entirely different things. And my traders know I always tell this story about my twin girls that truly brings this point home. That I remember one time when they were little, we were at a carnival and they wanted to this, I think it was a, yes, it was a Neil. It was a Neil fish. It was Neil. I think that's his, whatever. One of the Disney, the fish movie. And there was this stuffed Neil doll that they wanted. And so I walk over to the booth and I say, what does it take to win this little fish thing up here? And the guy says, listen, you get 3 shots. All you got to do is put one of these balls in that basket. And I was like, that basket right there? Yes, that basket right there. So that basket's like 2 feet in front of me. Are you sure? I says, well, if I get, so he says, yeah, all you got to do is get one. But I said, if I get 3 of them in there, will I get 3 of these? He says, yes, you'll get 3 of them. And I said, well, how much for 3 shots? It's $5. All right. So $495 later, I'm walking out with one of these Neil fishes. I will show you the picture to this very day. I will not let it go. $495 for this little stuffed animal. Simple. Put this ball in that basket right there. All right? Easy? No. So don't get me wrong here. Don't get me wrong when I'm saying the market is not complex. It's not a complex entity. It is not complicated. Don't confuse that with me saying that it is simple to trade. It is not simple to trade. And it's largely not simple because it requires first that you become a different individual. It requires you become better first. You can't get better results from the market unless you become better and bring this better person to the market. You determine the results that the market gives. The market is neutral. So it's your ingredient. Who is being mixed with the market? Is it a poor, sloppy you? You're going to get poor, sloppy results. But if you become a tighter, sharper, skilled individual, and then that individual gets mixed into the market, now the results are different. Most people are trying to maintain themselves the way they are and find some fast fix to tricking the market into giving them what they are not. You get who you are. So if you're not getting what you want, you have to change, not the market, and not even your trading tactics or techniques. You. All right, let's move on to the next myth here. All right, we're going to take these things out today. I'm tired of this nonsense here. Okay, diversification. Diversification has been sold to the general public from the early 1930s, after the crash of 1929. And diversification became a gimmick to really just increase fees, in my opinion. All right. I don't believe in the concept, the idea of diversification in all areas of life. Who the heck is calling me? All right. It's not the fact that diversification as a general concept is erroneous, but as it relates to trading, it is, in my opinion, something that should be avoided. Now, diversification is held up in flag-like form so thoroughly, especially in the investment arena. And it's held up so thoroughly that most people will cringe at my words when I say diversification is a false notion. It is something that typically works against the novice trader in particular. And let me talk to you about this for a second. If you look at what I do, I'm the furthest thing from a diversified trader. I trade one stock 99% of the time, Apple. No diversification. I'm a specialist. I am not a jack of all trades. I am not whimsically pulled in this direction and that direction because there's news on this stock or some exciting happening at this stock. You can't pull me away from my source of income, Apple. And I will hit it up every day I possibly can without distraction, without the slightest temptation to look anywhere else. Apple is mine. In fact, it's so much mine that I feel it was created for me. That's what I'm talking about. The specialist that becomes so acquainted with his item, with his skill set, with his source, that he can almost predict what it is about to do next every single time. The intimacy is so deep, so great, because there's no diversification. If you think about it this way, let's look at all the professionals out there. The highest level of professional is a New York Stock Exchange specialist. This position is so special and such a guaranteed wealth-creating position that it is usually passed down from generation to generation. Try to become a specialist. Specialist largely by being born to a specialist. It's that protected. It's that powerful. It's that consistently profitable that it is not open for grabs. You usually got to be born into it. Now check this out. How many stocks does a specialist trade or invest in? One. The specialist for Home Depot doesn't leave his Home Depot pit and go over to the Disney pit when news is driving Disney wild that day. You can't get the Home Depot specialist to leave his pit. You can't get the Disney specialist to leave his pit. You can't get the Coke specialist or the Ford specialist or any specialist. You cannot get them to leave their pit no matter what is going on. But what do you do? Somebody mentions a symbol in the chat room. There you go. Off and running. CNBC has a special on some stock and the stock is going crazy. There you go. Off and running. How many stocks are you looking at on a day-by-day basis? How many stocks are the specialists looking at? The highest level of trader there is. One versus you. Okay, let's go to the next level. NASDAQ market makers. How many? These guys will, if you leave a penny, it's gone. They are so sharp and vicious that it is rare that if you enter their world and not and without knowing what you're doing, you will not leave without several limbs missing. I promise you, they're that sharp and that vicious. They are sharks. How many stocks do you think they trade? One to two. How many symbols did you look at today? How many symbols in the last week, in the last month? And if you ask them that question, it's the same symbols every day. The same symbol or maybe two with the NASDAQ market maker. Maybe two. The difference between a professional and a novice is diversification. One of the differences. The novice thinks he should diversify. You got to look at all of this stuff. You got to be all over the place. You got to be a jack of all trades. You got to enter other people's worlds. Dude, let me tell you something. If you enter my world is Apple. If you enter my world, you will likely be on the other side of my trades. You will likely be depositing for me and several others who only trade Apple to take your deposit. You cannot think that you are going to, unfamiliar with my world, come into my home, come into my town, come knock on my door, enter my house and take food off of my table, and you're a visitor. You don't even know anything about the town. You don't know anything about my home. You don't even know anything about me. And you think you're going to leave with my food? It's just not going to happen. It's the height of naivety. All right? So professionals don't diversify. They specialize. They become so highly intimate, so in tune with the item that they play every day, that there's almost no division between them and the item that they're trading, that they are the item. That's the type of high-level operation that the true professional operates on. And novices gain no roots anywhere. They don't become specialists of anything because they're constantly moving, constantly switching, constantly whimsically being driven over here and pushed over there. They're never balanced. They're always off balance, never intimate, always a stranger, always outside looking in. All right? If you were to be hired by a professional mutual fund, and let's say the mutual fund has a total portfolio of, let's say it's 56 stocks. Now, you might say, Oliver, that's diversification, but wait a minute. Okay, that's fine. We're not talking about mutual funds. We're talking about traders. But at the same time, let me continue. You're hired by a mutual fund. The mutual fund's portfolio currently consists of 56 different positions. You're hired as a trader, a new trader. You come on board. Do you think that as a new trader coming on board, your instructions will be, okay, here's your chair, here's your desk, here are the 56 positions, just go at them? You're going to be given one or two. And you're going to be given instructions. Okay, listen, we're accumulating these two stocks. We're about halfway to our full position. All right, just work it and work it. You know, you have a daily buy maximum of this, you have a minimum of that. It's your job to just buy when you think the price is, you know, reasonable and yada, yada, yada. But if not all 56, that's dumb. Zero diversification. All right. But a novice would come in there looking at all 56. Diversification sucks. Diversification was created by people who don't have skill. You use diversification when you don't have skill and you're guessing. Diversification is a guessing tool. Diversification is used when you say, well, listen, I'm just going to spread my money around because I don't know what's a winner. If I throw enough against the wall, something is going to stick, right? If you're skilled, why would you want to diversify? That doesn't even make sense. Why wouldn't you want to become a magnifying glass and put all of your energy, all of your power, all of your focus, all of your capital into the thing you know is going to work? Why water it down? You water down when you have no clue. Diversification is for people with no clue. I don't know where the winner is, so let me spread out over all of them. Diversification's for losers, generally speaking. When you're skillful, you don't diversify. You focus. You concentrate. You light something up big. You don't want to spread your resources over 150 different things so that if a winner does happen, it's not even that meaningful enough to mean anything. Diversification is a guaranteed way to water your results down. You may catch that big winner, but eight big losers just make it insignificant. Dumb. For the trader, at least. Real professional traders don't diversify very much. Highest traders at the game don't. Now go all the way to the chat room guys. They're the most novice of all, right? How many symbols are they pumping out every few minutes? See the difference? Go on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. How many symbols? One. Go to the chat rooms. How many symbols? Hundreds. See the difference? No diversification. All right. Myth number three. Again, not in any particular order here. Let's see, what did I write? And I wrote this down and wrote these things down in my Uber coming in today. Let's kill this idea. Let's kill this novice idea. Another idea created for novices. That you're supposed to be looking for higher reward versus risk as a trader. So, for instance, a lot of traders watch my trading and they have a critique of it because they might say that, Oliver, this trade was not a good trade, in my opinion, even though you made $2,000 on the trade. But it wasn't a good trade to me. And I'm like, okay, well, what's a good trade to you? Well, it wasn't a good trade because I saw that you were down almost $2,000 first, and then you made $2,000. That's not good sound trading, Oliver. I said, well, why is that not good sound trading? Because that's a one-to-one risk-to-reward ratio. You're supposed to have a 3-to-1 or a 5-to-1. I want to win 3 to 5 times the amount that I'm down. And let's just kill this dumb notion too. All right. This is another concept that's created for people without skill. So let me break it down this way. A professional, the last thing a professional trader wants to focus on are opportunities that offer 3 or 4 or 5 times to the potential risk. Let me tell you why. Because how often does an opportunity come along that is going to give you 5 times the amount of your risk? You're going to win 5 times the amount of your risk. How often can you make a living off of that the opportunities that fall into that category? No, because they don't happen every day. They don't happen every week. They don't happen every year sometimes. That's just dumb. Now, let's take it lower. Well, Oliver, okay, you're right. Maybe not 5 to 1, but 3 to 1. And well, how often are those going to happen? Yes, I grant it, more regularly than 5 to 1, but still not frequently enough for a trader to make a living, and much less a trader like me who trades 20 minutes a day. I need what is available almost every single moment. I need to be able to walk into the market and almost at will and at whim find something to take. But if you force me to find a 5 to 1 opportunity, I might be dormant for the next 4 months. If you force me to find something that's 3 to 1, I might be dormant for the next month, much less the next 20-minute period. Now, so you get the idea. If I were to say, okay, now find 1 to 1, I'd be regularly active finding 1 to 1. But wait a minute. If I did further and I said, let's go inverse, let's find opportunities that give me 50 cents for every $1 of risk. So when I lose, I'm going to lose $1. But when I win, I'm going to win 50 cents. Most novice traders would say, my God, that's horrible trading. Oliver, every time you lose $1. But every time you win 50 cents. And I said, well, no, I will take you further. Every time I lose $1. Every time I win 20 cents. And then, but Oliver, that's horrible. And I says, but have you seen horrible trading results for me? I'm like, no. And I says, well, why would you think it's horrible if that's what I do? And they're like, because you're supposed to have a higher reward versus your risk. And I said, well, who taught you that? Who said that? Where did you get that nonsense from? I'm like, but. And I said, just tell me, where did it come from? I don't know. It's just, that's just what everybody believes. Like, who's everybody? I don't believe it. I'm telling you, I don't believe it. You see my trading results. I don't believe that. They can't even tell me where it comes from. It's just so generally accepted that they can't tell me where it comes from. Listen, if you win 9 times out of every 10 trades, and every time you win 50 cents. That one losing trade, you lose $1. Are you going home after 10 trades wealthier than you were before the 10 trades? Absolutely. If out of every 20 trades you win, all right, after every 20 trades you win 18 times and you lose twice, are you going home wealthier, losing $1 twice? Losing 50 cents or in winning 50 cents 18 times or even 20 cents 18 times? How many opportunities are there with an inverse risk-reward ratio? They're there almost every moment of the trading day. And so when a trader has accuracy, you want to operate in the inverse risk-reward ratio world, not the other world for novices. That world was created for novices. These rules were put into place for people who don't have skill, don't have accuracy. When you don't have accuracy, you need some structure to force you to try to get winners. So it steers you in the direction of 3-1 and 5-1 because you don't have accuracy. I would rather make 20 cents a million times than to wait to make $5 every now and then. How much more accurate am I going to be looking for 20 cents? How much more active am I going to be looking for 20 cents versus you looking for $5? How much more opportunity will I have looking for 20 cents while you looking for $5? I will beat you every single day with your 3-1 and your 5-1 ratio nonsense. I demonstrate that every single day. Some people say, well, Oliver, listen, what's your daily drawdown? I said, well, my daily drawdown changes with my accumulated P&L for the year. So in the beginning of each year, it starts off relatively small. As I grow my profitability that I'm pulling out of the markets, I expand it. So at the current moment, my daily drawdown is close to $10,000. A few months ago, it was $8,000. So this is about, Oliver, wait a minute. I see that you on average, you gain like $2,000, $3,000. You average between $2,000 and $3,500 a day trading 20 minutes. I've watched you for months. And I say, yeah. Well, then how can you have an $8,000 drawdown when your gains average $2,500, $3,000? That doesn't make mathematical sense. I says, well, do the profits that you have seen over the last several months, does that make sense? I said, well, yeah, they'd chuckle. Yeah, that kind of makes sense. Well, I says, well, maybe what you believe is wrong. If you see the results make sense to you, like, oh, yeah, in August, you pulled $74,000 out of the markets doing exactly this. Yeah, and this month you pulled $68,000. And in October you pulled $54,000. All right, trading 20 minutes. So I did that with that ratio. So if those numbers make sense to you, then maybe what you have in your mind is what proper trading is not right. So think about it. If I am up $54,000 and I have one day of my maximum loss, let's say that's $10,000. Am I still profitable for the month? Yes. Now, if my accuracy weren't there, I could not have a ratio like that. I could not have I average $2,000 to $3,000, but when I lose $8,000. I couldn't have an inverse relationship with that if I lost more often than I win. But I average 6 losing days a year. I can afford to have an inverse relationship. That giving my trades that extra room increases my accuracy. Most novices wouldn't get that. When you put your plays in too tight of a straitjacket, you limit your odds. When you give them freedom to flex and bend their knees a little, they can dunk for you. Hard, but you've got to be skillful. You allow extra room to an unskilled with an unskilled trader, and that will cause damage. I'm not saying that that is for everyone. That is for a professional. An inverse relationship is for a professional. It is not for a novice. A novice should stay in that 3-1 and 5-1. That's the novice world. New York Stock Exchange specialists win every single day of their lives, except very occasionally. But when they lose, it's big. Like a market crash or something, it is big. But it's so when you look at their average win versus their average loss, it's inverse. they win a little every day. But whenever they lose, it's big. And you'll look at what's your average winning day. They'll say, okay, this number. And it'll be, and then you say, well, what's your average losing day? And they'll say, big. You say, but I don't get that. That's so much big. Your average losing day is way bigger than your average winning day. Yeah, but I don't lose very often. So I can afford to have an inverse relationship. I can afford to be down bigger than my average up. And that's where a professional wants to be. Not in that very restricted, limited novice world of 3-to-1, 5-to-1. I'm not sure if I have adequately explained that, but I hope I have in some way. I hope it's connected with some people. Because this, above many things, confuses the heck out of so many people when they watch me trade. It always has, actually. I began allowing people to watch me trade when several authors, I gave permission to several authors to come into my world to spend time with me, watching me trade, watching me live my life, watching me do what I do. This is way back in the 1990s. And then they wrote books about my trading. They wrote books about my conquest. All right? Two books in particular. All right? And it gave me the idea that this is a great idea to have other people, other traders come in and watch me trade, watch me do what I did. So I started opening up trading offices and having people come in to actually literally sit with me. There are traders who were my assistants for years. They placed many of the trades for me. We accumulated positions together. I taught them how to do it. And many of them have gone on to own their own hedge funds or run their own trading operations to this very day. So I began allowing this. And this cry to do it again after my semi-retirement became so feverishly high that I began to actually just display portions of my trading more. And I'm going to start displaying more of my trading, more of it, as I don't display all of it. But this, after going back out there to show what I do, it is this myth of you need 3-to-1 or 5-to-1 to be successful. And if you're operating 1-to-1 and certainly inverse like I do and many other pros do, that's wrong. No, you're wrong. That's actually the right thing. It would hurt professionals to not operate in an inverse risk-reward environment. It would limit their opportunities, cut their profit potential. All right. So remember this, once you become accurate, you want inverse risk-reward ratio opportunities. When you have no accuracy, you need the protection of the 3-to-1, 5-to-1 nonsense. All right. So another one, your losses should be smaller than your gains. That I basically already covered, which was mixed up with the 3-to-1 versus 5 and 3-to-1, 5-to-1 risk reward ratio stuff. But I'll touch upon it one more time. Your losses as a pro will tend to be larger than your average wins, but they come or occur so infrequently that you can afford to have your average loss larger than your average win. In the beginning, you cannot have that. As a novice developing your skill, you must focus on keeping your losses smaller than your average winning gain. Most novices don't even have any idea what their average winning gain is. They never sit still enough to do these life-changing calculations on their trading results. They don't look at anything. They just allow Monday to move into Tuesday, Tuesday to move into Wednesday without looking or exploring, reviewing, or going deep within anything. The process of going within for a trader is after the trades, journaling them, opening each losing trade in particular open, cracking it open, finding the common denominator that's running through all of your losing trades. What is that? There is a common theme running through most of your losing trades. You probably don't know that because you probably don't spend any time cracking open all of your losing trades to find out what is the common thing inside of all of those losing trades. I'm constantly reminding my traders that adore your losing trades, to love them even more than your winning trades, to cherish them, to actually be happy when you have put together 10 losing trades, because now you have a sampling large enough to find the common denominator. That inside of these 10 losing trades, inside of them are your future winning trades. If you leave these 10 losing trades alone and you never peer inside, you never crack them open like they're peanuts or like they're oysters to find the gem inside, the jewel, the pearl, you're just going to be another person that allows Monday to become Tuesday, Tuesday to become Wednesday, without there even being any apparent line of demarcation that separates the day. It's just one giant, boring blur. What a pathetic life. All right. What's next on our list here? Let's see. Let's see here. Day trading is riskier than investing. No. Every time I hear it, I have to laugh. Are you got to be kidding me? Short-term trading, investing is safer. Buying and holding is safer than short-term oriented trading. How anyone can believe this is still, to me, almost beyond belief. I cannot fathom how dumbed down someone's reasoning faculties must be to actually believe that nonsense. All right, let's look at it this way. Risk is defined as exposure. All right? Risk equals exposure to the potential of danger, the potential of disaster. That's what risk is. When you are risking something, you are risking the possibility of disaster, something unwanted, exposure to disaster. Now, I trade 20 minutes a day. My average trade, actually, that 20 minutes doesn't mean I'm in a trade for 20 minutes. I include my observation time. My average trade is about four and a half to six minutes. Average trade, about 6 minutes. No, it's about six. My average trade is about 6 minutes. I am exposed to the possibility of danger 6 minutes. An investor is exposed to the possibility of danger every single moment, every single day, every single month, every single year. You got to be kidding me. Oliver, how do you take so much risk? What risk are you talking about? Like the possibility, what possibly can go so terribly wrong in 6 minutes or even 20 minutes for that matter? That I couldn't protect myself from. I mean, it's not like I'm flipping real estate inside of 6 minutes. Something so illiquid that I can't get out of. I can't get out of this house. I'm trying to sell my $2.3 million home, and I have to do it in 6 minutes. Not going to happen, dude. So it's not like I'm flipping homes inside of 6 minutes. I'm flipping the most liquid stock you can probably find, Apple. I can get out of Apple at the drop of a hat. Before you can say, boo, I'm out. What possibly can happen that is so bad, that it's so almost uncoverable? What could happen that I can't rebound from in 6 minutes? How is trading over a very short period of time, how is that possibly even close to the risk an investor takes by holding something for 3 years or 3 months or 3 days and 3 hours? The safest form of market play is day trading. You're exposing yourself to danger the shortest period of time. Danger doesn't have a chance to really happen to you when you're trading short time. Yes, I'm not talking about losing trades. That's not danger. That's part of life. Some days it rains. Like, that's just part of life. You can't have every day sunny. You know? So I'm not talking about losing trades. That's not danger. That's life. Disaster. I'm not going to say it's impossible, because sometimes the stars and planets can align in such a way that even in your 6 minute period, disaster strikes. It's happened to me. When the Twin Towers, that horrific event in September 11, 2001, occurred, I had almost 40,000 shares of QCOM. It was pre-open. I was playing the pre-open market. So I picked up a block, 38, so almost 40,000 shares of the stock. And I was up almost a dollar pre-open. And the Twin Towers were hit. As we all know, the market never opened that Monday morning. It opened 1 week later, the following Monday. And I was down $1.3 million at the open. So, yes, I'm not saying disaster is impossible for disaster to strike. That I'm not saying. What I am saying is that day trading or short-term oriented trading or micro-trading, whatever term is dear to you in this field, is the safest form of trading, because by the definition of risk, the exposure to the possibility of disaster, that's the definition of risk. Your exposure is the least of all trading styles. All right? And I focused here because it was the safest, because I did not have a lot of money to lose in the beginning. It was safer to me in my mind. I never thought otherwise. It just made sense to me, it's safest. I'm out. Now, once I'm out, 6 minutes later, 8 minutes later, nothing can happen to me. I'm on the sidelines, safe. It reminds me of my son, Oliver, who really got fascinated with football years ago. He was a little guy, and he was small, but he was fast. I mean, the kids towered over this kid. I would cringe. And he was running back, so they'd pass him the ball, and you could barely see him through these big, giant boys. They look like men. And my little boy looked like he was in kindergarten. But he was so scared every time he got the ball that he would run. He ran so fast, you could barely read the number on his back. It was that fast. And he would get to the end zone or run out of bounds after getting a first down, panting, but really fearful the moment, you know, he get the ball, run, he gain his yards, and then go to the sidelines and get out of bounds. Now, safety. Nothing's going to happen in the sidelines there. You know, they're not chasing you then. You know, and that's very similar to trading. Like, you get your yards, boom, and you dash to the sidelines. Now you're safe. These big guys are not after you. Disaster can't happen there. Disaster can happen, yes, potentially while you're running, but you're running only a few yards, boom. I got my 2 or 3 yard, boom. I'm on the sidelines. That's how you would do it. Get the ball again, run a few yards. Fear would have him go faster than he's really physically capable without fear. And then he'd run, gain his yards, dash to the sidelines, safe. And that's how he played the game. And in a way, that's how I play the game. I'm in and out. I grab my shekels. Boom, dash to the sidelines. I'm out. I'm saying, Oliver, well, why don't you trade all day? I mean, look at what could your potential gain be if you traded all day? And it's true. I mean, I used to trade all day for many years. This was my job. This is what I did. This is how I supported my life. I built my life this way. But I'm retired now, semi-retired. I like to do it just to keep sharp. Trade my 20 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes, and I'm done. It keeps me sharp. It keeps me connected with my traders. Yeah, it keeps dinner money coming in the door. I like that. And fix. I still need my market fix. I still need that. All right? But if I traded longer, now I would be extending my risk exposure periods. Not that that's bad. I'm just saying. My risk would still be small per trade, but I'd be now increasing the number of times per day that I'm exposing myself to the risk period. So even if my average trade lasted 6 to 8 minutes, I would be being exposed 6 to 8 minutes multiple times versus one time a day. And that would have an impact. Yes, it would increase. I would go from probably having average 6 losing days a year to maybe 11 or 12 or maybe 15 losing days a year. And that's the way the game works. But do not think that this, just because you're trading actively, this is a more dangerous game. It is the opposite. All right? Just don't let anyone fool you with that. The other thing I'd like to say is that it is impossible to enjoy an accuracy such as the accuracy that I have and some of my traders have. Our accuracy in many cases is so high, a lot of people don't even believe it. And that's where you want to be. You don't want people to believe your results. That's when you know you've arrived. Ah, come on. For real? Yes, you want that. You want the disbelief. If it's believable, it's not spectacular. Oh, yeah, okay, that's kind of normal. But you don't want to be normal. You want disbelief. You know you've arrived when people don't believe it. And it's true. You know? So I wanted to touch on this very, very quickly, which I think is very important. Let me see how much time I have left in the program here. I have 5 minutes, so we're doing good. And this program is a little longer than my last program because I wanted to spend a decent period of time on each one of these myths because they do tend to be deeply rooted in a lot of people, and just a brief description is not going to really chop down that tree at the root. I got to bang on it a little bit for it to loosen so that people say, I'm really finally getting what Oliver's saying here. All right. Anyway, the accuracy that we experience, that I experience, can only happen in short-term trading. That same accuracy, when you start to extend your holding time, you start to drop your accuracy. And because you're now also exposing yourself to a lot more possibilities, good and bad. But I work to, let me tell you why accuracy can be so high in day trading. And I'll explain it with a metaphor, if you will, or an example. If I were to ask you where you would be 5 years from now on November 11th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, you would have absolutely no idea. If I were to ask you where you would be 1 month from now on a Wednesday, on 1 month from now on the third Wednesday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, you may have a better idea than 5 years from now, but you probably don't know for sure. I'm going to ask you where you would be 5 minutes from now. You'd get that right almost every time someone asked that of you in your entire life. Think about this. You're certain every 5 minutes of your life. You are uncertain every 5 years of your life. You are uncertain every 5 months of your life. You are uncertain every 5 weeks of your life. But you are absolutely certain 5 minutes at a time. What if you could live your life 5 minutes at a time? Wouldn't you live a life of certainty? That's what I do. I live 5 minutes at a time. I have honed my skill to the point where 5 minutes from now, I can tell you with a great degree of accuracy where Apple will be. And I will get it right at such a high rate that you won't believe it. But I hope you can understand the point of how it's possible, more possible, when you shrink the time. I'm not telling you, or nor do I know or even have a notion of where Apple's going to be 5 years from now, or 5 months from now, for that matter. But 5 minutes from now, I'm deadly. So short-term trading is not only safer, it lends itself to a higher degree of accuracy simply by shrinking the time. I hope that by debunking these few myths, and I did not even get to all of them, has been somewhat helpful to you. But trust me, we will continue this, because there are so many that hold traders back. And by undoing some of these beliefs, by cutting them at their root and allowing space for other, more appropriate beliefs to come into play, we'll start to produce better results, better analyzation, better decision making, and better final results. I am so privileged to have you here with me today, and I honor and respect the time you've given me, and I hope I've delivered something of value here today. This is Oliver Velez signing off, but only for now. Ciao.